Breaking news today on Seculo. A ruling from the judge on whether Trump violated the gag order is imminent.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your calls, too. If you've got questions, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You might remember that President Trump is not in court today on this Wednesday. Now, there will be, of course, there could be orders coming out from the court today, and many are wondering whether this is the day we are going to see orders from Judge Merchan on the gag order. Now, the judge was very tough on the Trump attorneys. I said this on Newsmax this morning. I think, listen, this judge, he's no fan. He's put out a very restrictive gag order. We saw this in Georgia as well, where a gag order was put on even potential witnesses. I mean, like, how do you enforce a gag order on potential witnesses? I mean, how do you talk if you're a defendant if you can be violating the law and either be fined $1,000 per time you talk for people who are potentially going to be called as witnesses? But this one is so broad that it involves even the judge's daughter, who, by the way, is not a defendant, who is not a witness, but is someone that may be interested to note is a Democrat fundraiser for Adam Schiff. And so, you know, people might want to know those kind of things as this judge is deciding not just the bigger picture about whether or not President Trump and the bigger case involving Alvin Bragg and the business decisions and, of course, but also issues like the gag order, which could amount to a $10,000 a day fine and jail time.
Yeah, hey, we'd love to hear from you. Do you think this judge will rule that Trump violated that gag order? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We got that as a poll right now, too. If you're watching on YouTube, you can vote in that. A lot of people think yes. I have a question for you from a legal point of view. What is the sort of the restrictions of a gag order, and why is it, you know, when is it important? When does it actually work?
Yeah. People who are actually witnesses and jurors who feel like you're going to be threatening them, so that you're going to put their life in jeopardy, so that they may lie or not tell the truth because they're scared of the consequences. So you're not allowed to, you know, witness tamper. It's kind of like witness tamper.
Yeah, so there's times where it's needed.
Sure. But the problem with President Trump in these cases, and when you have four of them going on all around the country, and some are state court, some are city court, and some are federal court, is it's way too broad. And so it involves even the judge's daughter.
Right.
Now, the judge himself, you can be as nasty about as you want. You're allowed to be nasty about the judge. And I get that, again, there's a line even with, like, the judge's daughter.
Sure.
Likely. But I don't think pointing out the facts that she's a Democrat fundraiser.
Yeah.
So that when her dad, if her dad was to hold, for instance, Donald Trump guilty of violating the gag order, she could use that as an email to raise money for candidates she works for who are Democrats that want to, twice tried to impeach President Trump and this time want to defeat President Trump in the ballot.
Yep. If you're watching right now on YouTube, I'm going to encourage you to hit the thumbs up button. We really appreciate that. And also, hit us up with a comment in the chat. Even if you're just saying, hey, tell us where you're calling in or where you're coming in from, we'd love to hear from that in the comments, especially coming up. I love to see kind of the scope of where people are watching from. So do that. Put the comments in. Tell me where you're watching from. Give me a call, though, right now. Also, phone lines are open. We're going to take a lot of calls today. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to have some guests on as well. Harry Hutchinson, Senator Lankford's going to be calling in. And then later on, we'll have CeCe Hyle joining us. So it's going to be a packed show. And we are towards the end now of our Life and Liberty Drive. And we want you to join us. We are in the final days. Just 6 days are left. And we are still short of our goal. And we are battling right now a lot of significant cases and a lot of significant work at the ACLJ.
Okay, we will talk about, when we come back for the next break, an amicus brief in the appeal of Fani Willis's corrupt prosecution of President Trump. And the Georgia Court of Appeals could take the case any day. So your gifts will be doubled during this Life and Liberty Drives, but the opportunity, Logan, it ends in just 6 days.
Yeah, 6 days to have your donation matched right now, so I encourage you to do that. Go to ACLJ.org, and while you're there, you can become an ACLJ champion. Over 21,000 of you have decided to fight with us, and we could use you as well. That means you're going to join us each and every month on a recurring basis, a recurring tax-deductible donor. We would appreciate that. Go to ACLJ.org to donate now, but again, phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110, and put that comment in on YouTube and on Rumble. We'll be right back.
lot going on today. So first, we're watching to see if we get a decision from Judge Merchan in New York on the Trump gag order violations, about 9 or 10. He was pretty nasty to the Trump legal team there, saying, quote, they are losing all credibility in their arguments. I think, again, they're making it impossible for President Trump to speak to the media because basically they put a gag order on the entire trial, so he can't talk about anybody who's going to be testifying. He can't talk about the, you know, who's going to be saying what about him. Like he said, he just has to sit there and take it. This is while he's running for president of the United States. And again, there are a lot of cases on gag orders and whether they're constitutional or not. So we will have to see there. We also know that, again, we've seen for the Supreme Court tomorrow is going to hear a major case. ACLJ has filed, Logan, on immunity from criminal prosecution and the presidency. And I want to go to Harry Hutchinson because, Harry, this is a huge case. And again, we'll be able to hear the Supreme Court oral argument. And it's whether or not a president, in our position, the ACLJ, when they have their official acts as presidents, if they are immune from prosecution once they are no longer president. Because we have a Court of Appeals decision right now saying that they, even when they are, once they are out of being president, that they lose the immunity they would have had, so that you could just keep prosecuting these presidents even for acts that you couldn't have prosecuted them for as president of the United States.
You're precisely correct. So this is a hugely important case. Law professors all over the United States are very interested in the outcome of this particular case. And tomorrow, in the final argument scheduled for the 2023-2024 term before the United States Supreme Court, former President Donald Trump will make an historic bid for criminal immunity. It's an important case because it should clarify an important gap, if you will, in constitutional jurisprudence. The question before the Supreme Court justices is whether Trump can be tried on criminal charges that he conspired to overturn the results of the 2020 election. The court's answer will determine whether Trump's trial in Washington, D.C. before Judge Chunkin, which was originally scheduled in March, will go forward, but it also will have implications for whether or not the president's trials in Florida and Georgia go forward. And so the ACLJ has taken a more nuanced approach. I think Donald Trump has asserted essentially blanket immunity. Jack Smith has suggested that once the president leaves office, he loses all immunity, which makes no sense because if Jack Smith's argument is correct, then it compromises the president's independence and the separation of powers between the president and the House of Representatives and Congress and the judiciary while in office. So this is a hugely important case, and listeners should stay tuned to the opinion, which will likely issue in June.
Logan, this is all going on at the same time in New York. You're seeing massive protests at universities. Against Israel on behalf of the Palestinian movement, even the pro-Hamas movement. I know we're going to be talking to Senator Lankford about that. I know Speaker Johnson's been talking about that. We had the President of the United States has had to speak about it. We know members of Congress from both parties have gone to New York, a Republican and Democrat. I mean, they are canceling classes, shutting down campuses because they cannot protect Jewish students and this week of Passover. So, I mean, you've got a lot going on in New York. And again, the case tomorrow at the U.S. Supreme Court on presidential immunity.
Yeah, I think people get a little confused of which one of those cases is actually happening, when it's happening, the fact they're all happening at the same time. But we can't ignore, obviously, what's going on these college campuses as they're having to shut down. And look, I'm seeing some of these chants. I'm watching this. It is going beyond a pro-Palestinian or a humanitarian, as we knew it would. I even saw someone post, what you need to do when you get to these protests, make sure you wear a mask. Make sure you do this. And we'll provide you a mask. I'll find that list, actually, because it was kind of, you know, sadly in the dark sense, like a dark humor that's over it. Because essentially it's saying, we know you're a coward and you don't actually want to be associated with this, but here's how you can do it safely and easily.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, and we are seeing a response. There's going to be some response marches going on. Now, Patricia Heaton and David Draymond from Disturbed is going to be leading a march on Columbia. So we are seeing some responses, which
Speaker Johnson's going to Columbia.
I'm very appreciative of all of those people.
The number obviously, of Jewish Democrats in the Congress went to Columbia as well to walk through the campus. But the problem is, the school, they've called for If you saw, Speaker Johnson has called for the head of Columbia to resign.
Which is interesting because it is placing blame now more on the school and not necessarily the students.
You know this is happening.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit because I think that's interesting because it's not saying, yeah, we need to be arresting these students. We need to be shutting down these protests. It's saying, no, we need to go to the top here because weren't prepared.
Instead of saying we're going to have the right security on campus to put these to handle these protesters and either be able to cordon them off, or if we need to arrest them because they're violating the law and they're making violent threats, then we'll do that. But if we let this become a riot and the city has to pay for it or the federal government has to pay for it, they're talking about the National Guard going in to this. I mean, you know, this is, again, it's happening. And I think, again, for a lot of our listeners, people who are watching our show right now or listening to our show right now, Logan, you know, they're growing up, they're in communities where this is not normal.
No.
Like a massive protest on behalf of Palestinians is probably not breaking out at their local communities.
Yeah, I mean, I was on a college campus last night. It wasn't like there was protests happening there.
These are the elite schools in the United States, and it is not safe to be Jewish on their campus. And we knew this already with the anti-Semitism hearings. Remember those hearings that went on where we've seen the heads of these schools have to step down because of the anti-Semitism inside the campuses from the professors, from the faculty. And now you're seeing a direct correlation of what happens when you have anti-Semitic faculty and classes. Well, guess what you get? Anti-Semitic students who promote violence against Jews.
Yeah, absolutely. And we love to hear from you. Phone lines are lighting up right now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But I think before we move on to that topic as well, I know we're going to be joined in the next segment by another guest. To wrap up with things with Harry, when you hear the Trump absolute immunity case, I'm curious about that too, because people are probably questioning what that means in terms of obviously what he's dealing with right now in the court in New York. Those are not necessarily connected, but are they all connected? How does that work?
Well, I think they are all connected, and they are connected at a foundational level by politics. So in other words, this is a determined and insistent effort that President Trump be barred from office. And so what the legal minds, particularly on the left, have done is they've gotten together, and there's some evidence that there's coordination with the White House, basically to come up with legal cases which have a political impact. So they're not being driven. These cases are not being driven by the rule of law. They're being driven by the rule of politics. And I think the American people should be aware of that. And they should be aware of the fact that many of the newscasters are offering really a political spin on these legal cases. So, for instance, ABC News is arguing against Trump's immunity claim. Why? Because they argue that Trump lost the last election by 7 million popular votes.
That's right.
Well, popular votes are irrelevant with respect to determining who becomes president. It's determined by the Electoral College. And so it's important for listeners to keep in mind that they will receive a misleading narrative from mainstream news.
Either way. And that is one of the reasons we are here as well, because you have an option of non-mainstream news, and that's us being able to come to you and utilize the amazing platforms that exist now for distribution. The fact that we're able to come on here and use YouTube and Rumble and Facebook and X and all of the different options, Instagram, however you're watching this content, or just on our website or our app on aclj.org, know that we really appreciate the fact that these outlets exist. However, without you, we can't get that voice heard. Without you, we can't afford to put this show on each and every day, to have the legal experts that you hear, to hear all the amazing guests that we'll have on this broadcast today and we've had on all week, to actually get into the court system and to do all this work. Jordan, we couldn't do it, and we are in the final days of our Life and Liberty Drive. Just 6 days are left, and we are still short of our goals, and we really could use your help.
That's right. So please make a gift today during our Life and Liberty Drive, as Logan was talking about. It will be doubled at aclj.org. We filed that amicus brief in the appeal of the Fannie Willis corrupt prosecution of President Trump. We'll take your calls on that later in the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. It's at the Georgia Court of Appeals. It could take the case at any day. We'll have some updates out of Pakistan as well in a persecution case that we've been fighting for 2,500 days, folks. 2,500 days to fight for that individual's life. And always worth it when you're fighting for the life of a persecuted Christian. And we just sent demand letters to 43 countries calling on them to sanction Iran and defend Israel. And of course, we saw that aid package pass through that is going to get a significant amounts of aid from the United States to Israel. Senator Lankford's going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. But again, your gifts will be doubled during this Life and Liberty Drive. The opportunity ends, as Logan said, in just 6 days. And if you become a recurring donor, one of the over 21,000 ACLJ champions you fight with us each and every month, please go to ACLJ.org to donate now. Logan, that's ACLJ.org. I know we're a little bit behind. We've got 6 days left here, but people, again, they can double the impact of their donations. Think about, we are involved in all these cases, the immunity case at the U.S. Supreme Court, the hush money cases. We're commenting on all of these. Of course, Fonnie Willis, we're involved there in Israel with our office, ACLJ.org. Donate today. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Seculo. As you know, folks, it is critical that we support Israel and that as a support for Israel, and I know that, those of you who support the Americans for Law and Justice do support the Jewish state of Israel, but it's also critical that the United States gets aid to Israel at a time when it's under unprecedented attack, not just on October 7th, but for the first time, Iran directly attacking Israel and Israel directly responding. And we are joined by right now by Senator James Lankford, a Republican from Oklahoma, a senator who has always stood with Israel, even in the tough times. And Senator, thank you for joining us on Seculo. I want to ask you first about the aid package. We know it was signed today and that this is going to get aid to Israel immediately.
Yeah, it will get aid to Israel immediately. And I just was in Israel 2 weeks ago. They reiterated again the importance of that, not just the finances, but also the message that sends to the people of Israel. They feel like they have been completely abandoned by not only this administration, but by the world, and everyone's turning against them. And they're turning around to say, who is still standing with Israel? And last night, the Senate made a very clear statement. We are clearly standing with Israel. We are proud to be able to support what they're doing on in their fight against terrorism. And we want them to not just fight, but to survive and thrive.
We know, Senator, you're not only standing with Israel in the Jewish state, but also against anti-Semitism as well. I mean, this is a fight that we see the violence, of course, that was experienced on October 7th, and that was that experienced even the attack by Iran and the response by Israel. And of course, I don't think that we're done yet with those conflicts by any means. But we're also seeing the rise in this really aggressive anti-Semitism here in the United States, which is, I think, for a lot of people, again, who might not live in some of these cities and might just turn on the news, it's fairly shocking to see the level of anti-Semitism that's on the streets right now in places like New York at our major universities.
Yeah, it is truly jarring to be able to see. And that's another importance of this bill yesterday and the passage and the signature of it today is to not only make a statement about what's happening in Israel, but what's happening here in the United States, painfully so. We've got folks in Columbia University and NYU and others literally just screaming out, go back to Poland, or yelling at people or saying, hey, there's a Jew coming by, and so we're going to try to block them out. We think that this is absurd in the United States of America. Now the protesters are literally negotiating with the administration to say, we want to make sure that we have no penalties for all the violence that they've had. We want to get police off of the campus, and so we have no police around the campus. And we also want to make sure that we get everything that we want to be able to get, which is the silence of Jewish students on campus and their voice being the loudest. So it is absurd for them to be negotiating with protesters, and especially for the things that protesters are asking for. Right now, we need to speak clearly. Jewish students should be welcome on every campus in America. I can assure you, they come to Oklahoma, they're welcome on every single campus. While these elite universities may be hesitating, we certainly are not in the heartland.
Yeah, and you've seen this. I think that you've seen a number of universities say, Brandeis and others say, if you need to transfer here, we'll make sure we keep you safe. I mean, this is something students are really having to think about. But you have sent a letter as well. You joined on a letter to the Secretary of Education as well as Attorney General Merrick Garland to tell people about that, because you put a deadline on it as well, because you just talked about how they don't want the security there. They don't want the police there. But you have said, hey, you've got to secure these universities. You've got to secure these schools if the schools themselves aren't going to do it.
No, that is 100% correct. And the issue should never be telling Jewish students, hey, maybe you shouldn't come on campus right now. That is absurd to be able to say, make the campus secure for all students. so that everyone has that opportunity to send a letter dealing with what the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. That is the, you'll hear it sometimes called just the IRA definition. The United States and other nations together decades ago got together to find out what the most basic term, what does anti-Semitism mean, and what are some illustrations of what that looks like. That's been used by our State Department for three decades now. It's lots of states, including my own in Oklahoma, has affirmed that as an anti-Semitism definition. So if law enforcement or entities want to know what is anti-Semitism, we have a clear definition. It doesn't restrict speech. It just identifies it for what it is. You could say, I disagree with Benjamin Netanyahu. That's not anti-Semitism. That's just a statement about government. But if you say that you're screaming from the river to the sea and you want the abolition of all Jews, that's clearly anti-Semitism. So it gives some clear definition. The Department of Education doesn't take the IRA definition. The Department of Justice doesn't do that. So instead, the Department of Justice will reach out to liberal groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center and will have them define out for them what different things mean. We have a clear, internationally recognized definition of anti-Semitism. We want to make sure that's used, that's passed on to universities, and the universities use that definition to be able to make clear to their students what is and isn't appropriate and when it begins to cross the line.
Yeah, Senator Langford, this is Logan Sekulow, and I just wanted to say, number one, thank you, because I think you're right in the sense of the heartland or the South maybe gets a bad rap in terms of the way that they have treated, you know, these kind of issues in the past. And some of that is in the past, certainly has not been great. However, in recent decades, I'm driving around rural Central Florida last week, and I see, you know, Israeli flags waving. I know what you've done for refugees from Afghanistan a few years ago. It feels like that people like you are the last people standing up and saying, no, these sort of coastal elite universities are actually where we are harboring a lot of racism, a lot of anti-Semitism. And what you see in the heartland of America, or you see in areas of the South, is simply the opposite.
It is the opposite. There are churches and places around Oklahoma City today and around Oklahoma that have Israeli flags that are flying to be able to support them. The largest gathering for a Passover celebration was at the University of Florida this week. So people would think it's in other areas of the country, but they're finding in many areas of the country, especially the conservative areas, they're open to all different perspectives and views. They just want them to be fully integrated in society. And they don't want people shouting down people they disagree with. They want to be able to engage in respectful dialogue. We can have differences of opinion. Okay, that's fine. But don't shout somebody down and don't scream someone from the river to the sea and to be able to call for the genocide of their family. That is completely over the line, and you're not going to find that here in the South.
Senator Langford, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing on behalf of Israel, on behalf of the persecuted, on behalf of the American students here and Jewish students here in the United States who are trying to celebrate Passover, but also for those Israelis who are trying to defend the Jewish state of Israel. So, Senator Langford, we thank you for that, as well as, of course, holding the Biden administration accountable. Both they want the funding to get to Israel, but at the same time, we've got to secure the students, the U.S. students, Logan, here on campuses, yeah, right here in America.
Absolutely, and we at the ACLJ are certainly always on the forefront of that. As we head into this next break, I want to encourage you to join us right now during the last few days of our Life and Liberty Drive. We're going to hear a lot in the next half hour about the amazing work the ACLJ is doing around the world, so you're going to hear that coming up. We are also going to take your phone calls, so we want to hear from you. If you're on hold right now, if you are Terry, Michael, Rami, Lisa, Ann, we're going to get to as many of you as we can later on in this broadcast. So stay on hold and give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. As you said, all donations right now to the ACLJ, the way we're able to keep this show free, the way we're able to get this without a paywall, which I think is very important when we have these kind of issues, we have these kind of people on the air, to do this without shutting people down, without creating just an echo chamber, is incredibly important. We can't do that without your support. So go to ACLJ.org, make your tax-deductible donation right now. If you can, become a recurring donor, which we call ACLJ Champions. But all donations right now are doubled. That means there are people like ACLJ Champions who are there ready to match any donation that comes in during the month. So do it right now. Go to ACLJ.org. Make your donation right now. If you've done that, by the way, and you're watching, you're one of the thousands of people watching on YouTube or on Rumble, tell me in the comments. By the way, if you're brand new, which I know a lot of you are right now on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. We do this show each and every day and have for nearly 30 years. So you can be a part of it right now. 1-800-684-3110. Hit that subscribe button. We're back. 1 minute break. Less than 1 minute. We'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Jordan just stepped out, so it's actually going to be Logan Seculo for this segment. So hello and welcome to the second half hour of Seculo. Thanks for joining us. We have a full bank of calls. I'm going to take as many of these calls as I can in this half hour. We are also going to be joined by CeCe Heil in the next segment, senior attorney here at the ACLJ, to talk about what we're doing worldwide at the ACLJ. And I think you need a big overview. You've probably heard of the Shahzad case that we've had. And if you haven't, the blasphemy case, you need to stay tuned. I'm going to have her reset all of it. So I know we like to come in sometimes. We pop in with these updates, but I think we need a reset. Take it slow so you understand what we're talking about here at the ACLJ, why it's important that we are around worldwide, and why it's important for you to support our work during things like our Life and Liberty Drive. Also, I'm looking at your comments right now on YouTube. I'm looking at your comments on Rumble. Put them in there. Starting with Logan, so I can see them. I'll make sure they're highlighted. If I can search my name, I can then find out if you have comments for me to take on the air. I'm going to take as many as I can. So thank you to the thousands of you watching right now. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Let's go to actually Rami, who is calling. It's a little bit of Trump, news, maybe. Rami's calling in Hawaii. Yeah, Hawaii, line three. You're on the air.
Aloha. Well, of course I support Trump. I'm actually calling about the presidents, the school presidents, and thank you for taking my call.
I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, these so-called elite schools are disqualifying themselves from the prestigious label that they have. We have a friend who rightly pulled their student from Columbia for fear of these misguided students of finding out that their father was born in Israel. We absolutely need to go after these school presidents who are passive and condone this behavior. They need to be held accountable for the disregard for school safety. And we see this across the board at all schools. They just don't care, and they see students, oh, they're fine casualties and they're sacrifices for this liberal agenda, whatever their agenda is.
Yeah, absolutely, Rami. Thank you for calling also from Hawaii. We appreciate that. I love hearing from people around the country that are you know, tuning in, whether it's on the radio or watching on YouTube or Rumble. We appreciate that. We're able to reach so many of you. I think you're right. We are going to have a lot of university presidents that, look, I think a lot of them get nervous and they get scared. You have some of the situations where it's like in Harvard or some of these big universities where, you know, they're putting out their own statements that are pretty much anti-Semitic or saying, you know what? They said death to Jews. They didn't say this specific one. So therefore, it's not an active threat. And we know that Mike Johnson is called for the head of Columbia, the Columbia president, to resign. We'll see if that happens or what happens there. But I do think there is a fear amongst these Ivy League faculty where they see these protests happening and they see how people got demonized over the last 4 years for the way they've treated protesters, the way they've treated these situations. And they're scared for their jobs. They're scared for their lives and their careers. But what we need is some people who stand up and actually make definitive statements. I know at Columbia tomorrow, there is a march that is happening. Some of our friends like Patricia Heaton are involved. I believe some leading pastors are involved. David Draymond, I believe, from Disturbed. I'm not sure. Our friend Five for Fighting is on the road, but he's been doing it. You're going town to town. If you didn't hear that yesterday, you should tune in and watch that. But we'll try to get some more information on that. But thank you so much for calling in about that topic. I will be taking more calls coming up at 1-800-684-3110. Let's quickly go to Lori, who's calling in Texas, online too. Lori, you're on the air.
Yes, hi there. I'm actually in Texas, but I live in Israel for 26 years, and I just happened to catch your program.
Great.
And I want to say thank you so much for interviewing and for standing up for Israel. It is a great blessing, especially for us as Messianic Jewish believers living in the land, and to hear you support and have people, you know, praying for us. Thank you so much.
Lori, thank you so much for doing that. And, you know, my wife has always said if there's another place we would live outside of the United States, it would be in Israel. Such a beautiful and amazing country and amazing people, full of life, full of probably what you consider traditional liberal ideas that are now, of course, not at all what you'd expect coming from American liberal ideas. So, you know, really the only Western kind of beliefs that happen in the Middle East are in Israel. We're going to take your phone calls. We got about three lines open right now. 1-800-684-3110. Again, the final days of our Life and Liberty Drive. Join us right now. We're back in just a minute, so don't go anywhere. We joined by CeCe Heil. We're going to talk about one of a big ACLJ case happening around the world right now. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to take your phone calls in the next segment, so I want you to stay on hold if you're on hold right now. That includes you, Terry, Lisa, and Ann. We're going to get to you, but also, if you have other calls, we have three lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Stay on hold, and we will get to you. We are also in the final days of our Life and Liberty Drive, and I think it's important for you to have a big understanding of some of the work the ACLJ is doing around the world, and that's where we are joined right now by Cece Heil, senior attorney here at the ACLJ. You may have heard of this case before, but I really kind of want to break down all of it. So if you're new to the broadcast, I know a lot of you are right now. I'm watching on YouTube. I know once we hit a certain amount of numbers, sort of like there's like the regulars, which I love all you regulars who are there commenting on Rumble and on YouTube. But then when that number crests, I know that means YouTube is serving this, or Rumble is serving this, to more people that don't usually get our broadcast. So welcome to all of you. So for all of those people who don't know about the case involving Shahzad, I think, Cece, let's start at the beginning.
Sure.
And then get us to where we're going from here.
Yeah, absolutely. We have an office in Pakistan, and we take on a lot of false blasphemy cases and represent, it's, you know, Christians, innocent Christians that have had false blasphemy charges leveled against them, and they're literally sitting in prison. So Shahzad Masih is one of our clients. He was only 16 years old when he was arrested, and he has been sitting in prison for 7 years. And what his crime was, which is really ridiculous, is he's an uneducated 16-year-old working as a janitor in a hospital, and he simply gets into a religious conversation with one of his colleagues who's much older, a Muslim man, very savvy in his religion, and the Muslim man starts asking him questions, and Shahzad basically is saying, you know, I really don't know, I'll have to go ask my father. But trying to engage in conversation, Shahzad innocently says, but I do know that my father has this friend, and every time he hears someone named Muhammad, he cusses. Well, that threw the colleague into an absolute fit and, of course, got a whole mob together and came after Shahzad and claimed that he had blasphemed, which, of course, he hadn't. He had just said what his father's friends had done.
Let's break down that. Blasphemy, we think of it in American terms. Obviously, we think of it as, okay, someone who spoke against someone's faith, but that's not necessarily a crime.
Right.
But we're talking about Pakistan.
It is a crime.
Very different.
Absolutely. It's a crime, and you can be sentenced to death. And in fact, that is what happened here. This innocent young 16-year-old not only gets thrown into prison, they never even question the father's friend, who actually was under their laws committing blasphemy, never questioned, but the innocent Christian gets thrown into jail. He has literally been sitting in jail for almost 7 years, and the lower court, due to threats from the Muslim mob that has kind of gathered around this case, the lower court has sentenced him to death by hanging. And so, of course, we are representing him. We have attorneys there on the ground in our office representing him. But this is where our UN advocacy comes into play. And I know a lot of people, you know, the UN is useless, and why do we?
The UN's a bit of a dirty word for right. A lot of our listeners and
why
viewers.
Why do we engage? And really, it's the Ministry of Presence. And also, there are some working groups that we work with that are good. And the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention is one of them. So we filed with them on this case, and we got a great opinion, which, of course, Pakistan gets a copy of this opinion, that now the United Nations has condemned them and said this is not a case where this young man should be in prison. So on the heels of that opinion coming out, after we filed and we get a good opinion, lo and behold, we go back to court because, again, he's been sitting in prison for 7 years. Shahzad Masih, almost seven years.
So was in that started with 16, and now
16,
is, you know, in his mid to late 20s.
That's right. So we requested an expedited hearing date to be set for this appeal because, as we know, he can languish many more years in prison just waiting for the appeal. And on the heels of this good opinion from the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, when we just had that hearing asking for this requested expedited date, the judge actually directed during that hearing for the clerk to set the appeal date. So we had a victory there where this appeal now could be heard within a matter of weeks, maybe a month, instead of years and years down the road.
I'm sitting there. It wouldn't happen without us. And then I guess what's the next step here? So what happens? It takes to the higher court in Pakistan?
So the good thing about the higher court in Pakistan is that typically when we get out of the lower courts, we do see that the higher court justices actually follow the law and we do get successful outcomes. So our hope is that when this higher court hears the appeal and recognizes that there is no case against Shahzad Masih, our client, they will actually dismiss it. Yeah. And so we're hopeful for a good outcome on this.
Praying for a victory there. And I think people need to understand the length of time here, that this is not uncommon with our legal work, and especially around the world. In America, we know the legal system runs slow. But when you have even the option of blasphemy being a charge here, it is taken a little bit more seriously, and it takes a very long time. So you've had him there, what, for how many days was it? Over 2,500
yes.
days.
So literally almost 7 years we have been working on this case. So that's we have commitments.
And we don't give up.
We don't give up, exactly. We will keep fighting for justice.
Yes, I think that's amazing work, and hopefully we have a full victory. We'll know that potentially much sooner than we anticipated because of the amazing work that our team worldwide is doing. I know a lot of you are tuning in for domestic work and you want to know more about sort of the Trump updates and the gag orders. But understand there's also people in different countries imprisoned right now for their faith or for just simply for free speech, saying something a little bit off. Again, a 16-year-old. But we're going to be there for them as well. But we can't do that without you and without the support of our ACLJ donors, without the support of ACLJ champions. I'm going to tell you in just a few minutes a little bit more details on that. We are going to get back to the domestic front, so stay tuned. If you're watching, make sure you stay tuned because we're going to talk more on the Trump situation. You can give us a call about that. Also, I'm going to take as many calls as we can. We got three lines open, 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. But beyond even Shahzad and this individual case, though this is a story to tell because I think it's something that's important to hear these stories, important for our listeners and our viewers to hear these stories. It is not singular. This is not the only thing we're doing. This is not the one case we're taking. There's tons of these coming into the ACLJ every day.
Right. And in Pakistan alone, we have five of these false blasphemy charges. And in fact, Shahzad is in the same prison.
Different people.
Five different clients. And Shahzad is actually in the same prison with one of our other clients who has been in jail for 10 years on false blasphemy charges. So we are fighting this, you know, on the ground for sure in Pakistan with attorneys there, with clients there. And false blasphemy is a big issue with Pakistan. And actually, the United Nations has condemned Pakistan regularly that they should get rid of those laws. And every time we have a chance to be at the United Nations and speak, we request the same thing.
And also, just quickly, there's also a new update. We're sending a new letter to Iran right now.
Yes, we are. So we sent letters to United Nations member states telling them to do sanctions and punish Iran for their actions attacking Israel. We are doing the same thing tomorrow. We are sending a letter to Congressman, the Speaker, and the Minority Leader, as well as the State Department, demanding and requesting that the United States take every opportunity to increase sanctions and to do economic measures against Iran. And we're hopeful that they do. And also make sure that, like, the $6 billion that's sitting in Qatar does not get released, that they don't get any more waivers, basically making sure any economic measures and sanctions we can put on them will be done.
Thank you, Cece. We do have a vast team that's working on this each and every day, 24 hours a day. And we can't do that without your support. You obviously heard about Shahzad's current situation. And as Cece said, the hearing date has been set, which is a wild move. And really, we couldn't do that. We couldn't have people on the ground in Pakistan working without you, our ACLJ supporters. We are in the final days here of our Life and Liberty Drive, which means because only for a certain amount of time donations can be matched. This is one of those months. We are heading rapidly towards the end of April. Feels like April just started, and here we are at the end with just 6 days left, and we are still short of our goal. We are not only fighting for that, we are fighting, obviously you heard, that we are sending these letters to defend Israel, to kind of sanction Iran, and the battles keep increasing, and we can't do that. Look, that's just, there's the legal work, and then obviously there's this broadcast. There's all the incredible content you get for free if you go to ACLJ.org. Look at the incredible people writing content, giving you all the information you need, all the incredible video content. Someone's going to make that. We got an incredible editorial team making this, incredible creative team who is having to make all this content that you get to see each and every day. This is not a small operation. We could not do it without you. The battles keep increasing, and so does our work. We can't fight without your amazing generosity. I want to thank the 21,000 ACLJ champions, and I would encourage you to become one as well. And what that is someone that decides to give monthly to the ACLJ. If you can give a single donation, that is most of the people. Most of the people that support the work of the ACLJ give a single donation. And right now, those donations are matched. But if you can become a recurring monthly donor, that's what we call an ACLJ champion, because you are a champion for us, for life, for liberty, for freedom around the world, not even just domestically, around the world. Become one today. Go to ACLJ.org to donate now, or if you're watching, you can scan the QR code that's on the screen right now. It'll take you straight to that page. We appreciate it. Coming up in the next segment, I'm going to take as many calls as I can. So if you want to call in, we still got a couple lines open. 1-800-684-3110, or get your comments in on YouTube and Rumble. We'll be right back. Take as many calls as we can in this segment. We're talking about Israel. We're talking about the Trump gag order. We're talking about whatever you'd like. If you want to hear, if you just want to call and say thank you, like so many of you do, which I appreciate so much. And your prayers and your thanks are really powering this organization. The donations are fantastic. I appreciate everyone who supports us financially, but know that I really do appreciate your prayers and that we really need it always. And I really do. I can't tell you how much they mean to us here. And you can get that. It just popped up. You can get the ACLJ prayer guide. That was not an ad for the ACLJ prayer guide. However, it's absolutely free. You should get that. It gives you a really great, our team put together breakdown of where you can kind of read, you know, different prayers and different guided prayers for certain topics that are sort of in our scope, and how you can pray for the ACLJ, how you can pray for us, how you can pray for each topic. I can pray for our president. I encourage you to do that. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Let's go first to Lisa, who's calling in Shreveport, Louisiana, on line four. Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Okay, this is probably the silliest question ever, but I'm just going to ask it because a lot of people are probably wondering this. How did it get so far with President Trump and these illegal charges, illegal allegations, illegal false witnesses, everything? It just doesn't make any sense. He's innocent in everything. We all know that. How did it get so far? He could actually go to jail. Does it have to? Does every single case going to have to reach the U.S. Supreme Court before you see any kind of legality? I mean, these are legitimate lawyers that are defending him, and I'm starting to think that this isn't even a legitimate judge. These aren't even legitimate persecuting people. The prosecution. I just don't understand how it went this far.
Yeah, I think, Lisa, I think a lot of people have had, and thank you for calling. You're on hold 40 minutes. I appreciate that, by the way. I think a lot of people have those thoughts that they almost are becoming numb to how many cases there are and all the charges that are come against him, but they are real. And I want to make sure that people understand they are real. These are real courts. These are real judges. They are actually, you know, potentially you're discussing anything from incredible fines to jail time. It's not like, kind of Lisa said, this is not just some show investigation on charges. This is really happening right now in our country. And whether you agree with President Trump or you don't, it's really beside the point, because the statements that have been made and these cases that have happened just feel so soaked in political misconduct, if you will, in terms of the way that we're treating our political opponents. It doesn't feel like they are actually rooted in the law. Now, you could say what you want about certain judges or however it's being run, but you also have the case of presidential immunity that's happening at the same time at the Supreme Court. And this, look, it's not unlike we talked about impeachment, where when you lower the bar for impeachment, now everyone can be impeached. Do I think that Joe Biden should be impeached? I'm not really sure in the traditional sense of everything until this last, you know, let's say decade. No, probably not. However, the rules changed 4 years ago. And now the bar is lowered for what impeachment means. The bar is lowered for all of these things. And that's what's going to happen in the President Trump situation, which is it's not going to be unlike a lot of countries, specifically in the third world or even countries that in Europe and so forth, where every political leader ends in disgrace. Every political leader ends being thrown out, and a lot of them end up in prison if we're not careful with how it happens in America. Let's go to Terry, who's calling and hold for a very long time. Terry, I really appreciate you holding. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I am calling to ask you folks if there's anything President Trump can do once he's back in office, and I'm not even letting myself think otherwise, if he can generate new laws or something to protect people from this kind of legal warfare.
Well, there is obviously the case right now of presidential immunity that is at the Supreme Court. Is it tomorrow, right? Will, you hear me? It's tomorrow, I believe. Tomorrow is when that case is. And so those are the kind of things. You get to a Supreme Court level, and hopefully you have a fair Supreme Court that will judge that fairly. And if you do, then maybe that's a level of protection for not only him, but for future presidents going forward. Now, how that affects you, that's a different story. Because as he said, they go after him, they go after you. It is a different time. Are there things, and you said you hope that you're not even getting to the idea of what if he doesn't go back in office. I think what you need to understand is that it was going to be this coming November an uphill battle for, honestly, for either Joe Biden or for President Trump. They are both, sadly, we're at the point where we're not even sure there are going to be presidential debates because the country is just split. So it's more who shows up that day. Who's that 3%? Who is that 4% that isn't sure who they're going to vote for? Maybe I'm wrong. But it feels like historically, man, if you got 56% of the vote, you just had a landslide. These are not the Reagan years. These are not the years where you could have every state light up red except for one. That's certainly not going to happen this time around. So make sure you're always staying vigilant of what's happening and to, you know, prayerfully decide who you're going to vote for, obviously. But that is something you need to keep aware of. And don't just go in blindly thinking, oh, well, my guy's going to win. It's not really how it works. And I think we need to be aware. Let's quickly get to some more calls. Ann's calling in Pennsylvania. Ann, you're on the air.
Thank you so much. I mean, your show's so great that you make me, my thoughts just come alive. And but I got to stay focused. So, yeah, you know, what's going on with these universities? This is pure hate speech and worse. It is violent, violent hate speech. And, you know, part of your motto is do the right thing. Well, you know, I'd really like to say this. I'm telling the university president, do the right thing. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of lawsuits at you from family members of these Jewish students who should not have to feel afraid in the greatest, freest country in the world. And then, of course, you know, your great guests, you have always have great guests, but, you know, talking about how other entities can kick in. Well, you know what? Federal law enforcement needs to do the right thing. State law enforcement need to do their job. I don't care if the mayor tells them not to arrest or not. Okay. And you know what? The police officers, I support number one. They have been ridiculed. They have been defunded. They have been demoralized. What is going on in this country? There's no excuse in the world. And I really appreciate you guys. Over at ACLJ.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Ann. I didn't mean to cut you off. I knew we were on hold for a long time, but we only got a minute left in the broadcast. I really appreciate your thanks, really appreciate your prayers and your support. And you're right. I think some people need to go there and do the right thing. Can we play the bite real quick from AOC? You know, if you want to hear what the representation in New York is saying, take a listen.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
Dog whistling what? Anti-Semitism. That is what's happening from your own representation. And really, you need to take, the person talked about the election, everyone needs to take a hard look at their representatives and see, do they actually represent them? When you see someone like AOC, or maybe in your local areas, maybe there's somebody who speaks like this as well. You go, this can't represent my local area, and it certainly does not. Support the work of the ACLJ. Only 40 seconds left here. I'm just going to tell you, the next 40 seconds, I really want you all to take a minute, one, pray for us. We need it. I need your support with that. But also, if you can financially support, go to ACLJ.org. We do this show. We do all our legal work, everything for free without a paywall. Okay. Most of the organizations like ours do not do that. Most media organizations do not do that anymore. We can do that because of people like you. So I encourage you, go to ACLJ.org. All donations are doubled right now as we head into the last 6 days of our Life and Liberty Drive. Do it right now. And if you can become an ACLJ champion, a monthly supporter, do it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.